What is going to happen, I believe, we're not going to get rid of the technology. It serves a function. It's embedded in our daily lives. But a point is going to be reached where young people, because it has to come from young people. It can't come from people my generation. We're too old. We're too rigid. Young people are going to grow up in a world. They're 18, they're 19. They're going to be disgusted by all of this. Their bodies are so full of energy. They want to have things that are more physical, that are more sensual, and they rebel. And there will be the equivalent of the 1960s or like a hippie-like rebellion of going back to things that were more real to them. I use my smartphone, I use technology in my research, and it's embedded in our daily life. So it would be ridiculous for me to pretend that I'm somehow cut off from that, or that I'm really somehow different, superior to everyone else. I know the addiction, I know what it does to people, I feel it in my body and in my mind. I just think that it's gone too far and we're losing a sense of what it means to be a human being and what it means to feel connected to the world around us. I don't just mean to like God or anything. I just mean to be connected to your environment, to go around and feel like you're actually looking at the world and not inside your own thoughts. I do a lot of deep meditation every morning, 40 minutes every morning. And it's a form of meditation where you're trying to stop thinking, stop all the thinking going on. And then when you do that, everything looks differently. And so the other day I was on a bike ride. I have a special bike that I use for my broken body. But I go up into Griffith Park and I'm like, I'm cutting off my thinking. And I'm for just a few minutes, everything looks differently. Like I'm looking at the trees and the vegetation and I'm not looking at them as if they're words, tree and vegetation. I'm looking at them, the sun shining on the leaves. It's like they're new, they're fresh. This is how a child must have seen it, right? Mm. And so that's something we've lost. We don't look at the world. We're disconnected from things. We're sleepwalking. And I don't mean it in a superior sense. I feel it too. We need to ground ourselves in something more like that. You could call it whatever you want. You could call it, we need to become more spiritual, however it is. I'm not going to put the word on it, but we need to feel more connected to our environment, to our world. Our senses are becoming dulled because we're so virtual, right? In the virtual world, there's no smell. Smell has a very important part to play for the human being. So that's what a lot of drugs do to you. You're like, suddenly your senses just open up, right? You know, that comes from that poem of William Blake. If the doors of perception could be cleansed, we would all perceive eternity. It's the doors of perception, our senses that have been closed. So it's not just spirituality. It's getting more in touch with our bodies and our senses that is wrong, that it's kind of gotten off track in our culture. And that I'm critical of, and that I think is very dangerous.
How do you suggest people balance the need to kind of be on technology, use it because it's a necessary part of their daily lives, their work, and maintaining also that curiosity, that sense of searching for sublime experiences, looking at the world in that way?
Well, the main thing will be reading my book when I finally finish the damn thing, because every chapter has exercises in there for how to make the book practical, how to make the ideas practical, mm-hmm. how to go about your everyday life and be experiencing this. I don't want it to be just this intellectual book that you read. I want it to change how you look at things. But you can't give up the technology. I've not been able to. I'm obviously use it as much as anybody. But you have to carve out other moments in your life, right? So for me, it's the meditation in the morning. No, I am such a fascist. Nobody can interrupt me. No sounds. You know, my wife has to go in the other room. The cat has to go in the other room. By myself, get out of me. No more, no world anywhere, right? Then when I take my bike ride, I used to take walks. I don't have my headphones. I don't have my phone with me. I'm out in the world. You have to cut yourself off from it at certain moments of the day. You have to give yourself an hour or 2 hours a day where you're not interacting with the shit. You're on your own, right? And I like to think of it as a ritual. So because I have my background in ancient religions, I'm someone who really kind of thinks rituals are sort of a very pleasant thing to have in your life. So my meditation is a ritual. Going out in nature in some form is a ritual. So you're taking these, say, 2 hours a day, no phone. And you know, I go up into the mountains here in Griffith Park on my silly little bicycle. It's a trike. It's a recumbent bike, right? But it's insane exercise, I can tell you. Anyway, there are people way up in the hills, no cars or anything. And they're just look at their fucking phone and they're like in there, like walking like this in the middle of nature. And I want to slap them in the face and put it away. You're not looking at anything. So put your goddamn phone away. Take a walk. You know, I used to swim every day before my stroke. And there would be people who had headphones when they were swimming. Mm-hmm. You know, come on, people.
I don't know that it's going to get much better, though. I mean, I look at the emerging technology that's coming. And I think that, I mean, the most intense of it being like Neuralink, right? Eventually having computers that are integrained with your brain.
Oh, God. I'm glad I'm going to die before all that happens.
Well, on the one side, you could look at that and say, well, technology like that will, you know, give someone who's had a stroke the ability to have full function in their legs back.
Right? True.
And then on the other hand, it's, okay, well, now this person is never disconnected. If ever they want music, they just think of it and it turns on. And
yeah, that's bad.
So, yeah, I suppose that might be bad. But I don't know.
Suppose. What could possibly be good at that? You see, the more powerful technology becomes, the weaker we become, the weaker our willpower becomes, right? You used to. So when I was a kid growing up, I know I'm sounding like one of those grandfathers in you know, TV shows, but I didn't have any technology. I had nothing. I had to invent the games to play for. And so I invented all kinds of really weird games, a lot having to do with sports and warfare, which was sort of my passions when I was a kid. But your imagination takes up, your willpower gets engaged when you have nothing to entertain you, right? Mm. So in the 19th century, you had no television, you had no recordings, you had nothing. You know, you didn't have radio, you didn't have a telephone. I'm talking about early 19th century. So, but, you know, you'd be bored. So what did you do? You would go out and you would socialize. You'd go to salons. You'd meet people. You learn how to play musical instruments because that's the only way you could hear music. Your willpower became engaged and you became more of a human being. You created things. Our technology is going to get so strong that people won't have the willpower, the strength to create anything. If ChatGPT or whatever the thing it's called can suddenly create an image for you, why bother to learn how to paint, right? If you can compose a piece of music by bing, why learn how to compose? And when in the process, you're losing something very, very valuable and very human.
But do you not see it as a normal part of evolution of technology? Like, you know, all of a sudden, now we know how to, when we're able to type, then it's less important to be able to write in cursive, right? And that's just it's a shift and an improvement, which raises the bar of the quality of output almost. If anyone can generate an image now, then the quality of that image better be really great when you're trying to sell it for art.
I'm sorry, Milan, I don't really agree because, you know, our literature hasn't gotten better. Mm. Because people know how to type on a computer. Because you can like virtually do something really quick and write a novel in a month doesn't mean you're better than Charles Dickens or Fyodor Dostoevsky. I don't think so. Or Vladimir Nabokov, one of my favorite writers. Because of my stroke, I can't type. I was a pretty damn fast typist before then. I have to handwrite everything, right? And I used to handwrite a lot, but what I've discovered was, first of all, I developed a fetish for fountain pens. And I got fountain pens with all different colored inks. And I'm writing on a pad of paper, and I'm scratching with my hand. It's this kind of sensual thing with the writing, and I have all different colors going on. It's kind of very pleasurable. Now, I'm not saying that everybody should go back to that at all, but I debate with you this idea that it makes people better or smarter at it. I don't think because your AI-generated painting has to be really good to sell an art gallery, I think it's going to make you better than Da Vinci. I think it's going to make you better than Pablo Picasso, to argue with you. So it's not making us better just because of the technology. And what is going to happen, I believe, or my hope or my faith is, we're not going to get rid of the technology. It serves a function. It's embedded in our daily lives. But a point is going to be reached where young people, because it has to come from young people. It can't come from people my generation. We're too old. We're too rigid. Young people are going to grow up in a world, they're 18, they're 19. They're going to be disgusted by all of this. They want it, their bodies are so full of energy. They want to have things that are more physical, that are more sensual, and they rebel. And there will be the equivalent of the 1960s or like a hippie-like rebellion of going back to things that were more kind of real to them. And it'll happen and it'll incorporate technology, but it'll be on a higher level where it's more human, it's more sensual, it's more involved with our senses, it's more involved with our bodies. It's got that kind of ancient feel to it. Because I don't think we can go on this long eventually where people are going to feel it's already happening, where people are feeling so alienated from themselves that they're craving something else. A generation will emerge where that will become a revolution. I'll be dead, but I'll be celebrating it from my grave.